I've got big, huge, massive news. Okay, so did you miss out on registering for our spring summer program? It's not too late. We are opening up 1,000 spots starting today. Maybe you got into the program and you're realizing this is amazing. Everybody should be doing this. Or I know so many people who would love this. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. And if it's you, you're the one who didn't get signed up, run, don't walk over to our website, GWB.com. The first 1,000 people to sign up are in. Otherwise, you have to wait until our next program that doesn't start until the fall. Go. What are you waiting for?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, hello, hello. Rolling along with our revamp week and tweak. It's such a good week and tweak. Again, gives you so much more flexibility off the heels of feeding the metabolism, where you are making your body work so much harder to get the nutrients that it needs, stimulating that digestive system twice as often, asking those four questions twice as often. Now we are making a few tweaks to the basic food plan. So we are taking our two afternoon snacks down to one afternoon snack, and then you have more flexibility with that morning snack. So you can have fruit still if you want, but now you can add a protein and fat to it. A lot of you asking questions about options for those snacks, where we have actually provided options for you in the guidelines. So we've given you options for the morning snack and ideas for that. We've also given you options for the afternoon snack that are in the post. So make sure you review that post as often as you need to be super clear on the tweaks that you are making with the food plan this week. Also switching up this star of the meal for lunch and dinner. Some of you confused by that. All you're basically doing is switching dinner for lunch, lunch for dinner. So vegetables used to be the focus at lunch. Now protein is the focus at lunch. It's just really as simple as that. So we go back to those lunch and dinner visual guides that we originally posted with the food plan on day one of the program. All you're doing is just simply switching those around. So at lunch, you want to make sure you're focusing on the protein. And then at dinner, you want to make sure you are focusing more on the vegetables. So minimizing your protein there, right? So also with this tweak, you want to focus on that protein and fat, feeding into your satiety hormones. So for breakfast, it's always been a focus on protein, but what happens 9 weeks in is people fall back into what they like and what they love. And maybe, you know, before you were having overnight oats and you were loading it up with nuts and seeds and really bumping up that protein. And now 9 weeks in, you're just kind of like just having the oats. You're not really making an effort to focus on that protein. So this is where we kind of want to regroup and refocus on the protein for breakfast. Also, some of you have been using breads and pastas. Again, this is not a low carb program. It's right carbs, right time. Some people have chosen to take out those carbs like breads and pastas and crackers and those types of things altogether. And some people have chosen to keep them in. And so if you have decided to keep them in over the next couple of weeks, you want to ideally take those out or minimize those and just kind of really take things to the next level in terms of asking those four questions when it comes to portions. Some of you are starting to say things like, I think I'm eating too much. If you think you're eating too much, you probably are. Now, if you think you're eating too much because you're eating often, I mean, yeah, because what's happening is your body's needs change every day. So what you're going to realize in the next couple of weeks with our next tweak, not next week, but the week after that's tweak, is that you're going to be more in tune to your body's actual hunger needs. So we're going to be checking in. Are you hungry and need to eat? Should you eat? Because maybe you didn't, you know, eat your meal or snack previously. So now you're going to go longer than 3.5-4 hours, right? So am I hungry? Do I need to eat? Should I eat? I could eat. I'm a little hungry. Maybe I'll have a token amount. So we're going to elevate this whole process to being super in tune to your body's needs and your changing hunger levels. But there's a way we're going to go about that. So you still want to make sure you're having all your meals and snacks. And if you're not hungry for them, still have those token amounts at this point. All right. I've not had any bread or potatoes or pasta. Yeah, right? And not that those foods cause you to gain weight or make you fat, because they don't. They just really help when it comes to your body decreasing the amount of insulin it's used to using, because you can eat a lot of food. Doesn't mean it has a lot of nutrient value in it. And we are trying to really go for high nutrient value foods. And that's going to really help with your portions, because your body's used to eating a certain amount of food or receiving or having to use a certain amount of insulin when your body is breaking down those foods. So we want to decrease that. And the quickest way to decrease that is to decrease those heavier carbs like breads and pastas, which really essentially are processed foods. You don't get a lot of nutrient value from them, right? But that doesn't mean that when you add them in, all of a sudden when you're done losing your weight and you add them back in, you're going to start gaining weight if you have bread and pasta. That's not going to happen. It's just that when you minimize those while trying to lose weight, it can be beneficial for sure. Good morning. Super warm and sunny here in London at my mom's for a week, so it's nice. Love the tweak this week. So easy to do around family. Yeah, so it gives you a little bit more flexibility. It's a great tweak. It's a beautiful day here as well. The sun is shining. You can feel a spring in your step. It's not just because the sun is shining. It's the time of year as your body is transitioning from winter into spring. It's actually pulling you out of that winter hibernation mode. It's giving you more energy naturally, and it's naturally going to go looking to release any fat that would have felt naturally inclined to store over the winter. So, you know, a drop in vitamin D signals weight gain, because that goes along with the days being darker and shorter, right? So along with the cold temperatures, the darker, shorter days, your body gets the message that your vitamin D levels are dropping. It needs to start storing more fat to keep you more insulated for the winter time. That's why it's really important to keep up your vitamin D levels and be taking a supplement in the winter time if you're not getting outside and you're exposing your skin to at least 15, 20 minutes of sunshine every day. Right? So your body is naturally in tune with that. And so your body is going to go looking to get rid of any extra fat that it would have stored over the winter. Now, chances are you had that fat before the winter and you've been trying to lose it for a while, but same to the body. So it's a perfect time to be focusing on weight loss. Also a perfect time in the program, because you've been doing that for 9 weeks at this point, right? So that's why it's such a great time. That's why also the spring rolling into summer program is great, because all of that vitamin D, all of those longer days, bright sunshine, all of that, the last thing that your body needs is to be lugging around a bunch of fat that no longer serves a purpose. So your body goes naturally looking to release that fat, because your body wants you to have great energy, wants you to go forth and procreate. It's where you're going to be planting all your seeds to, you know, prepare for the next winter and all of that. So when they talk about how your body, it still functions on a very primitive level, right? And we're really capitalizing on that with the program and where you're at in it, which is really cool. I went to the doctor to check my blood work. She said, I don't need vitamin D since my levels were fine. Is there another reason why I should take a supplement if my levels are okay? No, not necessarily. If your vitamin D levels are fine, that's great. It's good for you. But for most people, that isn't the case. More than 50%, I believe, the population is deficient in vitamin D, and more just on a regular basis, and more than that, especially in the winter time. So you want to make sure that you are checking your vitamin D levels, but that is one thing to watch. Like for example, people could have lost in the spring summer program, right? Had no problems losing, you know, even into the fall program. They get into the fall, into winter, they're having a hard time. It could be that their vitamin D levels have dropped. So just one of many things that you can focus on and make sure your body is getting what it needs. Some people do not absorb vitamin D very well. I am one of those people, so I have to take a supplement. I'm like a surfer girl. I love the sun. I'm outside all the time. I, you know, might slap some sunscreen on my face, but I'm the worst at putting it everywhere else. So I'm definitely getting my share of sunshine, but yet my vitamin D levels are still very low, right? So I just want to know what you're dealing with that. Happy Wednesday. I took my 4-year-old skating yesterday and felt great. My oldest took a video and I had to spend time over and over watching and saying positive things to myself. Otherwise, I would have been inclined to crop myself out. Yeah, I mean, your kids don't care, right? And they want those memories and they want it, like, be in the photos. You know, be in the photos. It's a great opportunity, yeah, to face yourself and to show yourself some love and look at you getting out there, skating, spending time with your kids. That's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember the size of your body at the end of the day. And also, we want to set an example for our children as well. And so that's the thing, right? That's the thing where you want to love yourself. Like, a lot of the work is in loving yourself right now, today, and where you are at. And this is sort of where the body positivity movement got things wrong. So the body positivity movement kind of tied body positivity into the size of your body and your weight. So body positivity, self-love, should have nothing to do with your weight. You should love yourself at whatever size you are at, whatever you have going on with your body, whatever you look like. You should love yourself exactly how you are. But that doesn't mean that there isn't room for making change or improvements, for lack of a better word, right? Like, you can love yourself exactly the way you are right now, today, and still want to lose weight right? So a lot of the work, a lot of times people wait until they lose their weight in order to, you know, try to, you know, work on their self-love and to, you know, have a more positive outlook on themselves, when that's kind of like ass backwards, right? It's all about loving yourself right now. It's also like acceptance too. Like, if you are accepting yourself the way that you're at, even though you are overweight and have weight to lose, or even, let's get real, if you are unhealthy because of that extra weight that you are carrying, you still deserve self-love and self-acceptance. And you are where you are. And there's probably circumstances to how you got where you are. And you should really show yourself some love and appreciation and some acceptance. If you master self-love and acceptance with where you are at, do you know what I mean? That's gold. Like, this is why it's so important to take time to be proud of yourself throughout the program and not constantly berate yourself or get on yourself for what's happening or not happening on the scale, because everything that you're doing is going to factor into that scale eventually moving and you eventually reaching your goal. It's all part of your journey. Which reminds me, Robin Hahn was our guest for Spill the Tea yesterday. If you missed it, I don't even know how to describe her. She is just a light and a whole vibe. I mean, all of our Spill the Tea guests have been amazing. It was really interesting because it wasn't really the conversation I expected to have. It's never the conversation that I expect to have on paper with the guests. It's always so much deeper than that. Really insightful and really a great compliment to the conversation that we had with Dr. Dina yesterday morning, just about kind of meeting yourself where you're at, recognizing what you've been through to get to where you are now and how that really factors in to where you want to go and what you want to achieve. And she talked about what was really an aha moment for me is that weight loss is really personal and profound. It was good. If you haven't had an opportunity to check that out. And she's this amazing, gorgeous, beautiful opera singer that just shared her gift with us. I swear, she started to sing and I like immediately teared up and had goosebumps. Definitely worth taking the time to watch if you haven't yet. Let me scroll down, see if I can get to some of your questions. I think my body is done with procreation. I hear you. I hear you on that. I hear you on that. Same. Very low iron and vitamin D. Yeah. So normally if you're low in vitamin D, you're also low in iron, magnesium, and Bs as well. That's something that I've learned. They all kind of go kind of hand in hand, and making sure you're, that can very much affect your weight loss journey when your iron levels are low, or you're low in D, you're low in magnesium, and you're low in Bs. All of those can affect your body's ability to focus on fat loss, because they also affect the way your body converts the foods that you are eating, right? So into energy. So those are really important to make sure that you are, and you can't just get them from your food, right? So a lot of times people old school think, well, I'm just eating all this healthy, nutrient rich foods. I'm looking at you, Laura. You broke, where was that? A 66 day plateau you broke today. Stick with it. Yes. So that's one of the conversations that we had with Robin. She like drops and then she has these like big long ass 7 week plateaus and then she drops again. And she just has this mindset where she knows even when she's on a plateau, if she's doing all the things that she can do, she knows it's going to eventually lead to a drop, you know? I totally forgot what I was talking about earlier. I got sidetracked there. I'd be cut out breads, pastas, rice, potatoes, crackers, oats, and desserts. I feel better, and oddly enough, I really don't miss them, even when cooking them for the rest of the family. I notice no uncomfortable bloating and abdominal swelling. Yeah, Same thing. Like I don't have anything against pasta. Every time I eat it, it's makes me feel bloated every single time. Right? Doesn't mean I don't choose to have it every now and then, but when I do have it, I notice I always feel bloated. I feel off. I probably have a bit of a sensitivity to gluten. I probably also don't feel great when I eat cheese, but I love it. Keeping a journal, right? If you haven't been doing that, what's really interesting at this point in the program is because you're so in tune to your body's needs, you might start to pick up on food sensitivities, especially because you get a taste of what it feels like to feel really good when everything that you're doing is aligning. And then when you choose to have that thing, you know, or you add in something you haven't had in a while, that's an opportunity to really see how your body responds to it. And the reality is your body always responded to that way. It's just you probably didn't notice because you felt bloated and ugh all the time. So at this point in the program, it can be a great idea to start journaling how your body is responding to some of the foods that you are consuming. And that's where you might notice you do have some food sensitivities that you're dealing with. Someone just asked, when do you get worried about a plateau? Like, what's a long plateau? Man, I've seen people plateau. It just depends on circumstances. I've seen people plateau for a whole program, but that's because they lost like 40 to 60 pounds the previous 3 months, right? So if you're constantly losing during one program, and it seems like you're losing pretty much every day, then you're going to have an equal and opposite reaction. So some people lose a big chunk, then they have long plateaus. Then they lose a big chunk, then they have long plateaus. Some people lose in little tiny bits, and then they have shorter plateaus. And some people are kind of combination of both. So this is where, what is your pattern? And this is where, if you're looking at your graphs, which is why tracking in our amazing Living Method app is super cool, because you can see your graphs and pick up on your patterns. And then that's why you're looking for that downward trend. And every time I see someone's graph, there's, when they have that downward trend, there's lots of ups, downs, plateaus, but you can always see the ups right before a down. And this is why when we did that post, what weight loss really looks like, and we shared examples of real members' scales, and then you know, so many of you posted your scale and what was happening with you. And even by looking at some of people are up and down and up and down and up and down. So there's a certain pattern that happens when someone's body is stabilizing their weight. Like you can tell, I'll look at that and be like, looks like your body is stabilizing your weight. Did you lose a good chunk previously? And then the person's like, yeah, I lost like, you know, 60 pounds leading up to this point. I'm like, okay, that looks like the body's trying to stabilize that. You can also see when your body is really struggling, especially when it comes to hormones, and like you have like really big ups and then it comes like back down, and then you're really like sensitive to fluctuations and back down. That's also indicative of someone struggling with a lot of inflammation or their body being stressed, where it's like really responsive to big fluctuations and you can't really seem to get down past that number. And that's where you really have to dive in a little bit deeper and focus on the sleep and focus on the stress. This is where people look to the food and tend to scale back on their food when what their body needs is more and more nutrient-rich foods. And people trying to control what they're eating, eat even less, you know, try to exercise even more when, yeah, okay, like making sure you're in tune to your portions and moving your body is important, but you don't want to stress your body out when it's already stressed. And that's where you want to shift your focus, make sure you're giving your body what it needs nutrient-wise. Yes, being super attuned to those portions, but also, you know, managing your stress and managing your sleep. So the scale, what your graph can tell you is really insightful. I'm actually working with a member right now, and she's provided, you know, she's been on four groups. She's provided all of her information, and you know, I'm looking through it, and the scale really tells a story. Jenny, the scale really tells a story about her journey. Right. And looks like first program, like she got that drop, she's going really well. And then the next program, and then you can kind of start to tell where her body starts to go off, which tells me, okay, something's going on here. Now, I believe she's 54, and maybe what's happening is her hormones are starting to factor in. Right. This is where she might be having a hard time with that. I don't know. Also, maybe she's got something stressful in her life happened, but your scale should tell a story, and you should be able to look at your graph, not the scale, your graph, and be like, okay, well, this is when I went on vacation. This is when I, you know, this really stressful thing happened to me. This is when I was doing all the things and things were aligning. Okay, I lost a big chunk here. So make sure it makes sense that I would have a longer plateau. Right. So that's how you kind of want to look and assess. So is there like too long of a plateau? The thing is, on a plateau, it's not time to sit and knit a sweater and just accept it. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I want to need plateaus. You do want and you need plateaus. Plateaus are your body adjusting to your new weight. Plateaus are providing a new set point. So your body got used to a certain weight, which is why you always lose a weight. You go back up to that weight. And that's your set point. That's where your body has adjusted everything, your hormones, your metabolism, your body temperature, all of that around your set point. It's learned that that's a weight that's good for you. Not the weight that you need to be at, but that's where it feels comfortable given the fact you've probably starved it and deprived it. And that's the body's storing a certain amount of fat that it feels like it needs to maintain that weight. And so you give your body the resources it needs to help it focus on fat loss. It drops the weight. So this is the difference, drops the fat, I should say. So this is the difference between weight loss and fat loss, because you're not starving and depriving the weight off. You're giving the body nutrient-rich foods to make change and maintain muscle mass. So weight loss is losing fat, it's losing water weight, and it's losing muscle. And so that's the difference with the Libby method, is that maintaining your muscle mass by giving your body the nutrient-rich foods that it needs to make change and maintain your muscle mass. So you release fat, your body says, okay, I need a minute to adjust. So now it's adjusting your body temperature and your metabolism. Even the size of your heart needs to adjust, because your heart is a muscle. It grows in order to sustain what it needs to sustain the size of body that you are. So you can't just lose like 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 pounds and not need your heart to have to adjust to the amount of blood that it's pumping through your body. People don't think about that. They just want to lose a huge amount of weight really quickly and do not think about the sustainability part, is your body physically being able to sustain that much fat loss, because your body factors in fat into how it functions. So think about that for a second. You can't just remove 20, 40, whatever, 60 pounds of fat like that. Your body needs time to adjust to that. So that's where your body says, hey, wait a minute, I need to adjust. So if you lost 30 pounds in the previous group, your body's like, okay, I love that you're giving this nutrient-rich foods. I love that you're going through the motions. I love that you're continuing to work through your issues and associations and your habits and your beliefs and whatnot. And that's what I loved about Robin, our guest. And when she said, when the scale isn't moving, I know that my efforts are going to factor in to my body being able to lose weight or release fat at the end. It's going to help you reach your goal. So while you're on a plateau, doesn't mean that your body's doing nothing. It doesn't mean that your efforts are for naught, right? So this is where, when you are on a plateau, you still want to act and show up every day like you are expecting to break that plateau. You're still maximizing, still digging in, like, yes, okay, I'm probably on a plateau because I've lost a significant amount of weight. But that doesn't mean that you don't still maximize your efforts and do everything that you can, right? Because when your body feels like, okay, I've solidified this weight, I've adjusted to this size body now, this size body is my new weight where I feel comfortable, everything has been adjusted, hormones, body temperature, metabolism, blood flow, all of that has adjusted around this new weight, then your body's like, okay, now that I've done that, I have all this excess fat. Let me, you know, release this fat again. And so it really depends. Like I said, probably like 3 months is usually the longest, because it takes 12 weeks for the body to actually make change. It takes 12 weeks for your body to regenerate around your skin, around your new frame. So 12 weeks is a specific amount of time, because it takes the body at least 12 weeks to make change. So it takes the body at least 12 weeks to adjust to your new weight. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you'll lose a huge chunk and that you won't lose on the next program. You know, sometimes people lose and lose and lose. They do their next program, they lose even more, and do their next program, lose any more. And then they have a long plateau. We've had people on the program, and I'm not selling my program very well when I say some people have been on a year long plateau, but they've lost a lot of weight. And while they're following the programs, life has changed for them. So you can lose a big chunk of weight and then you're on a plateau because your stress levels are through the roof, because it's just the season of life that you're in. You know, all of a sudden you're dealing with something in your life that you didn't expect to happen. You've been completely sidetracked. You're maybe, along with the stress that you're under, maybe your hormones are, you know, starting to affect you. Maybe you have a health issue popping up. Like, who knows, right, what it could be. So this is a matter of, like, this is why you got to figure out what you need. This is also why I love the conversation with Dr. Dina yesterday. When we say all the things, it's not all the things. It's doing all the things that you can do, all the things that you need to do. to. It's assessing the things that you can and need to do in order to reach your goal. You don't necessarily have to do all of the things, but you have. There's the exciting thing is there are a lot of things that you can do. It's like the same thing I loved about finishing strong. She talked about finishing strong. Finishing strong doesn't mean necessarily reaching your goal. That's not it. Finishing strong for some people means just actually being here at the end, you know, doing your best, doing that, doing your best. And, you know, knowing that every single day you're not just stressing about reaching your goal and then not doing anything about it. You know, it's about figuring out what you need at this point. Like if you pop into the group at this point, 9 weeks in, you should be able to tell me why your scale isn't moving. After all of the conversations that we've had, after all of our guest segments, and this is why some people, well, I don't know what's going on. Scale isn't moving. I'm doing all the things and, you know, I'm following the food plan and drinking my water. And I'm like, okay, well, like you tell me why do you think the scale isn't moving? And I think what happens is people don't take the time to sit down and be like, okay, why isn't the scale moving? What is my environment right now? Is my life chaotic and stressful? Right. And then you should just be happy that you're able to show up for yourself. Even the small amount of attention you're giving yourself is still worth it. Still going to add in. Right. So what is my current environment? What is my current health situation? You know, what, how is my sleep? Honestly, really, truly, how are my stress levels? Honestly, truly, you know, how much movement am I getting? You know, am I doing any resistance training? We talked a lot about hormones. Everyone's worried about how their hormones are factoring in. But if you're not doing resistance training, come on, you know, especially if you've spent 20 years or however many years trying to lose weight on deprivation diets where you're just losing muscle mass, you know, one of the best things that you can do is start doing some resistance training. And so that is where you, whether you're on a plateau or you're trying to reach your goal by the end of the program, that's where you need to be like, okay, if the scale isn't moving for me, am I experiencing any non-scale victories here? Because if nothing is happening, if you are making all of these changes and nothing is happening, then we got to go back to the conversation we had with Dr. Paul on four reasons why your weight might be slower to move, right? And then on top of that, that's where you want to assess where you are now today. And what happens with people who've done previous programs is they get stuck on what worked for them then. Well, last time I did the program, I ate salads every day for lunch and I lost so much more weight. Okay, but that was like the spring summer program, or, you know, that was from summer into fall where maybe those salads and stuff were more appealing. And now we're in winter time where your body wants those heavier, you know, heartier foods, you know, those fatty meats, those soups and stews and, you know, like heavier, heartier vegetables, of course, which we are minimizing this week. You know, so really adjusting to that, or I drank so much water, so now I'm drinking the same amount of water, right? Or I'm doing the exact same movement when your body's gotten used to that routine. And maybe, you know, yeah, you did, you know, whatever you're walking before, and now you need to add in some resistance training, right? So at this point, you should be able to tell me what's going on with the scale. You should know why the scale is moving or isn't moving for you. And that's where you're taking what you are doing each day and journaling and the data you're collecting. Again, why it's so key to use our Living Method app. And then what's happening with your graphs. And you should be able to use those graphs along with the data that you are collecting and be like, okay, this is exactly what's, when I'm doing this, this is what happens on the scale. When I did that, this is what happened on the scale. You know, I've lost this much weight here. I seem to be on a plateau here. What can I do in order to break those plateaus? So plateaus are normal. You want them. You need them. They can be super frustrating. When it comes to how long you're on a plateau, equal and opposite reaction to what's happening on the scale in terms of giving your body time to solidify your weight. But then, you know, if you're on a really long plateau and you're just doing the same thing over and over again, this is where you have to investigate. And as much as that sucks, I've just been doing this long enough where I even have people who swear, there's nothing wrong with me. I get my blood work done and, you know, I'm doing all the things. This doesn't make sense. I'm so frustrated. And then they actually really have enough and go to their doctors and then they actually start investigating and there's always something going on. There's always something like, oh yeah, you know, I'm working with my, you know, ND or my, you know, family doctor or whatever. And I realize, okay, I have this situation happening. And, you know, they always insist because their basic blood work came back fine or they feel fine and this is what they did before, so it should be working for them now. They're not going deeper and trying to figure out what it is. Like you have to see with all the things that you're doing, if your body isn't reacting and making change, there's got to be something off there, right? I also don't want to talk too much about people who are having issues with the scale moving, because so then like 93% of the people start losing weight within 4 weeks of the program and go on to successfully reach their goals. And I just want to take a minute though and just address that, because sometimes it can feel like I'm always talking about people being frustrated, and I don't want to bring attention to that and have that be the thing that we're focusing on every day, because there is a lot of people who are listening and following along, and they're like, this is so easy, and that's great for you, right? So I'm assuming you guys are okay. And this is where I do like to kind of give a little love. And even in the way that I'm talking about people frustrating, hopefully there's some good tidbits in there for you as well. Just like that conversation with Dr. Dina yesterday, like that was great if you are like stressing about the time that you have left. It's also really insightful if you're crushing it. Like either way, it's like such a valuable conversation.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, Annette. Happy birthday. I'm loving myself and being good to myself, going on a cruise in 10 days and celebrating life, myself and my husband. Good for you. I love a good cruise. I might be working on a cruise, maybe a Livy Loser cruise. I can't say too much about that. That might happen in 2025, maybe for our 25th group, something that I'm thinking about. I love a good cruise. Tony and I have been on a couple. How many cruises have you been on? You've been on like... Tony's been on like 6 or 7 cruises. I know you wouldn't think he's a cruising type of guy, but he is. I didn't think I'd be a cruiser either. To me, it was like being trapped in a mall in the middle of the ocean. I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm not going on a cruise. I love cruises. I love cruises. I love the shows on cruises. I love getting dressed up, you know, walking through the little promenade on a cruise. I love a cruise. I love a good cruise. So enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Just listen to the Spill the Tea. Wow, all the feels listening to Robin. Yeah, I'm in love with our guests. So big shout out to all of our Spotlight members as well. I hope that you take time to show them some love, because wow, I mean, people taking the time to share their stories in hopes to inspire other people. That's really special. I love our community and our Spill the Tea conversations. I think it's so important to hear from other people other than me every fucking day. You know what I mean? It's good to hear from somebody else. I have been the same weight since December 10th, but I'm here. I've had enormous stress, job loss, having to find a home after renoviction. If not for the lives, it'd be easy for me to pump my hands up. Keep moving as necessary. This... Diane, I feel you, right? We have seasons in our lives that are just stress. But showing up for yourself, prioritizing yourself, making time for yourself, creating space for yourself, giving yourself love, attention, you know, bringing awareness to where you are at, making a point of feeding yourself, right? Making a point of feeding yourself rather than drowning yourself in wine and chips. You know, that is really huge. Like for some people, just maintaining your weight during stressful times, if you think about that, that's massive. That is massive. Of course, I know we want to lose our weight, but there will be seasons and times in your life where just maintaining your weight is a huge, massive win, when before you would have fed into that stress or stress ate and you would have gained 20 pounds during the stressful time of your life. Like that is huge, again, because it's factoring into not just losing your weight, being able to maintain and sustain it at the end. It's one thing to lose it. Our mission is bigger than that. Our mission is to lose it in a healthy way, actually making you healthier and more in tune and calm physically, mentally around food, but in a way you're going to be able to maintain it, right? That's what that's about. So all of these along the way, that's going to help you get there. I plateaued my whole fourth program after losing 65 pounds. Hi, Trudy. Yeah. Yeah, you did. Fucking right you did. 65 pounds. Your body needed a minute with that. You know? And I know you can see why and how important that is. So that gives your body time to adjust to the weight that you've lost. So we're going to talk maintenance at the end of the program. We go all the way right to the very last day for those of you looking to lose. Right? But there are many people who've already reached their goal. So if you've reached your goal, you want to follow through on the rest of the program. And we're going to talk maintenance. And the second stage to the Living Method is to solidify your weight. So that's where you want to put 3 months, 12 weeks into helping your body adjust to your new weight. Now, we're going to give you options to do that with personalizing the plan and then doing another round of the program. We're actually working on a maintenance program. So a specific maintenance program that rather than doing another round of the weight loss program, you actually will move forward into a maintenance program, same, but different. And of course, we'll have the app that you can use, but we're not quite there yet. So the next best thing is to do another round of the weight loss program, because then people are like, well, I don't want to lose any more weight. Well, you might lose a few more pounds, but that's fine. Because what you realize is once you've lost your weight and you're trying to see your lowest low by doing the program, your weight's going to sit about 5 pounds above 3 to 5 pounds. Like, your set point is a range. It's not just one weight. So your set point is a range. So once you've lost your weight and you're in maintenance, you tend to sit about 3 to 5 pounds above that. There's that fluctuation there. And as you know, losing weight is like, it's not just following the program. It's maximize your efforts, do all the things. So you're going to go through the program again to solidify your weight, which gives you an opportunity, although you're done losing your weight, to continue to work through all those mental things. Continue to work through issues and associations and habits to solidify those new habits, right? And give your body a hot minute to adjust to your new weight. Then you'll roll into that third stage where this is where you might start to add in certain foods. Maybe you're not weighing yourself every day. Maybe you're not asking those 4 questions. You're kind of getting used to, you're still kind of keeping your eye on it, getting used to what maintenance feels like to you, learning to trust you're going to be able to maintain your weight before you move on to that final stage of put your weight loss journey in your past, move forward, being in tune, wake up, look good, feel good, go about your day, you know? So 65 pounds down. Wow. Yeah. Your body needs a hot minute. I have been keeping a food journal again since day one of the program. I know that I have a major sensitivity to almonds, even almond milk, so I cut them out. Next was cottage cheese. I love it, but it does not love me. Even tried lactose free. I've cut it out for this stage to see what happens. That, yeah. You don't have to go do a food sensitivity test to know that you're sensitive to certain foods. You just have to really take time to pay attention to that, right? Tomorrow's Grey's Anatomy, going to join Gina with a small bowl of chips and a glass of wine. I can't even watch. So Grey's Anatomy, which is why I knew, like, me and James Clear, we're best buddies, because I just read his book a couple years ago. And before that, if you know, if you've been around, I used to always talk about Grey's Anatomy and being triggered with wine and chips. And he actually uses that example in his book, which I thought was really cool. But like, I can't even see a Grey's Anatomy commercial without thinking of wine and chips, because when my kids were young, and I'm like, go back to the very first season I was watching Grey's Anatomy, they're like season 482 right now. but that was sort of like with 4 young kids, that was mommy time. So Thursday nights I would grab some wine and a yellow label. And that would be like my night. And I probably got bombed every Thursday night because I'd just drink the whole bottle of wine and eat the whole bag of sour cream. I'd buy my sour cream and onion chips and my red wine. And Thursday nights would be my night. And the kids just knew, don't talk to me. Do not talk to me. I am just like, leave me alone. Do not talk to me. It's 1 fucking hour a week. Just 1 hour. That's all I ask for. 1 hour a week. And I had, so to this day, I can't even see Grey's Anatomy. Talk about a trigger without wanting red wine and eating sour cream and onion chips. I bought a new bathing suit. Hi, Christy Boyd. They changed the times though, and now I need to rearrange my schedule to meet the class time. Oh, you got a new bathing suit for Aquafit. I used to teach Aquafit. I love Aquafit. I love Aquafit because you don't realize how much you're sweating and how hard you're working until you're done. I love Aquafit. How do you know when you're at the point of solidifying? How do you know when you're at the point of solidifying? Well, when you reach your goal weight, right? But this is where it can get a little complicated. I joined the winter group to solidify, but kept losing pounds. Yes. So that might happen. It's great. It's so cute that we think that our body's fucking listening to us when it comes to any numbers on your body is like not understanding you getting on that scale. Like your body doesn't give a fucking rat's ass about a number. It doesn't have a fucking clue what you're talking about. You might as well be talking to your dog. Might as well be telling your dog what number you want to weigh because your body is not cluing in to a number on the scale, right? Like you can get on that scale. You can think about a number. Your body doesn't give a shit about that number. It's just a number. It means nothing. It means nothing to your body. So while you are addressing your body's needs, and even when you're no longer looking to try to lose weight, your body will still release fat that no longer serves a purpose. And that you might lose. I wouldn't be nervous about that because you're losing weight in a healthy way. So it's not like you're going to just be, you know, so skinny and you're just going to lose and lose and lose and lose. That's not going to happen to you. Your body's going to settle. So I'm always weary about having this conversation because whenever I say your body's not going to lose more weight than it wants, then people are always like, I knew it. I'm never going to get back down to the weight that I was. I knew it. I mean, like your body is not going to want to carry any excess obvious fat. If you have excess obvious fat, you feel uncomfortable in your body, there's no reason why you can't lose that. There's no reason why you can't lose that. But so you might see that weight drop. Now, here's the thing that you really need to understand. We're going to talk more about it. We talk all the time in maintenance. Right now, you are living a lifestyle where you are trying to see your lowest low on the scale. Maximizing every day, drinking the water, doing this, doing that, moving by. That's not how you're going to live your life. At least I hope not. Now, maybe you will, because one of the things that we realize in maintenance is although people are no longer pursuing the number on the scale, they tend to recognize they don't feel as good as they felt in maintenance as they did when following the program. And that's because when following the program, you had a goal. So you are also managing your stress more, focused on your sleep more, making a point to eat healthy, nutrient-rich foods more, making a point to move your body more. And when you're not so motivated to do that anymore because you've reached your goal and you're done losing, people tend not to put the emphasis on those things. And they realize, okay, not only did doing those things help me reach my goal, but they also helped me feel really good every day. And so then people start doing those things again, not for the purpose of losing more weight, but for the purpose of living a healthy lifestyle, right? And so when you are in pursuit of that goal, you are trying to see your lowest low. But once you are in maintenance, chances are you're not going to be sitting at your lowest low. You're going to be sitting about 3 to 5 pounds above that. Right? And that people are always surprised by that. They think they're going to hit that low number and stay there forever. And that's what maintenance is. No. When you start adding in carbohydrates, for example, your body retains more water in terms of processing those. When you're not maximizing your efforts every day, you know, your weight's going to sit up a little bit. It's not weight. It's not fat gain. It's your weight just naturally fluctuating. So I always say my range, typically before last year and my stress was crazy and hormones started to hit me, was about 119 to 130. And I would sort of go between that range depending on seasons, right? In the summertime, I'm really prone to fluctuations with the heat. And I also like beer. And I also like Coronas, to be specific. And I also like chips and salty foods in the summertime. So my weight, and I tend not to be as, you know, diligent in the summertime. So my weight will sit up a little higher. And then in the fall, I get back, I clean it up. Clean it up. I hate that word, clean it up, but you know what I mean. Stop drinking as much beer poolside because I'm not sitting poolside or in the hot tub anymore. I'm not going out to barbecues and parties and you know, hanging out on patios. So, you know, I usually sort of decrease the amount of drinking and get back on my water, and it's not super hot. So my body's not like, you know, swelling up. And so my weight will go back to around to my 119 range. And then I just sort of fluctuate. That's my range. Some people's range is 3 to 5 pounds. I fluctuate a little bit more. So my weight tends to just fluctuate more. That's normal for me. That is maintenance, right? Anyway, I joined the winter group to solidify, but kept losing pounds. I joined the spring summer as well to solidify again. I don't think I can get any smaller. Is it when your weight finally peters out and goes up and down 2 to 3 pounds? Can I consider that to be my solidifying? I'm ready for maintenance, but want to make sure I'm following the proper routine. Oh, I love this. So you put weight into solidifying, right? And so you're doing the things, but you weren't actively trying to lose weight. But that doesn't mean that your body's not going to release fat that no longer serves a purpose, right? So the thing is that you've solidified the weight that you've lost. So you put 3 months in, it's solidified the weight you've lost up until this point. So then if you've lost a few more pounds, right? More time just put into even that third stage of maintenance will help to solidify that weight as well. So you just want to take a little bit more time before you start eating the burgers and the fries and whatever and using Back on Track all the time in order to sort of maintain your weight. We're going to talk Back on Track next week. So Back on Track is a technique that you're going to use in order to help, you know, whenever you find yourself indulging, kind of get yourself back on track so that you can get back to wake up, look good, feel good. You want to minimize Back on Track while you are losing weight. You want to minimize Back on Track while you are solidifying your weight. So that's Back on Track is something you use more so in that third stage of maintenance and moving on with the rest of your life. It's just like whenever you go on vacation or go off the rails, you implement Back on Track for a couple of days. And if your weight was up, it'll come right back down. Just helping your body really get over any indulgences. So it's super effective for that. I'm ready for maintenance, but want to make sure I'm following the proper routine. There's no downside in doing another round of the program for the sake of continuing to solidify. The more time spent solidifying your weight, the better, I think. Right? Like I personally think so. There's no downside to being mindful, and it really gives your body an opportunity to level up even more with everything that you're doing and the tweaks that you're making. It's like active maintenance or active like solidifying time, redoing the program again, getting even more in tune to your portions. So for example, if you do the program again the spring, summer, you want to really be in tune to those portions. Now that you've lost your weight and your body's giving you access to more energy and especially the time of year, and your metabolism is naturally higher, you might find that you need more portion-wise. So it isn't about eating less for you. It's about getting in tune to those portions. So you may find that your next program, when you roll into the spring or summer, you actually, maybe you were eating 2 eggs while you were losing. Now you want 3 eggs because your metabolism is higher. So it's about getting even more in tune to your body's needs, right? So there's no downside in spending more time solidifying your weight. But rest assured that the time that you've put into solidifying this program has gone into solidifying the weight that you've lost previously. Hi, Brenda Huxley. Hello. As much as we need plateaus, they are hard at times. Way to go. Hang in there. Yeah. Brenda would know. Brenda would know for sure. You're a rock star, Brenda. I haven't told you that recently. Brenda's at the over 100 pounds down mark. She's a rock star. We had an opportunity to speak with her. She was one of our amazing Spill the Tea guests. All of our older Spill the Tea segments are available on our podcast as well. I highly suggest you go back and check those out. There's some really good ones. I'm not doing all the things. I know I'm not. Self-sabotage, stress, lack of sleep, but I show up here every day knowing one day I'll get back on track and start doing the program again. Yeah, love that. You know, sometimes we're at capacity. We're like, you know what? I'm here. That's the best I'm going to do right now. I do that so often. I show up. I did that Monday night. Monday night live, I was going to cancel it. I hate canceling. You'll notice I very rarely do that. I show up every day, even on my hot shit show days. I rarely do that. Man, some programs, I've had some whole programs that were shit shows. I showed up. Monday night was like that for me. I was like, I was going to cancel. And then I thought, ugh. But I showed up anyway. You know, hopefully people got some insight and information. Wasn't my best. But, you know, what was really interesting, and I talk about this often, is during the pandemic, I really learned about capacity. And it was like during the pandemic, if you remember so many years ago, like it was yesterday, all of a sudden, so I was doing a program and it was the January program. And then it was like rolling into, and all of a sudden March break. Remember the kids came home and never went back to school. And like half of the people left. It was a moving and grooving program. I mean, people were like, it was one of my best programs. And it's been 2020, right? The January program of 2020. And it was like off the hook. It was a great program. Like we were in the zone. This was amazing. And then the pandemic hit. And then all of a sudden our numbers just dropped. We lost half the people. And then our conversations became about just trying to show up. It became about trying to make the most out of pantry foods. The conversation completely changed to be in the moment. That's what I love about each group. It's really in the moment. Like last fall was a lot. Last fall's group was super heavy emotionally with everything that was going on. There was a lot. Financially, people were having a hard time with what was happening in Israel and Gaza on both sides. Hit people really hard. We lost a couple amazing key members. My friend Heather And of course, Sarah Perry passed away. And that was a heavy group, man. Heavy group. But there was a time during the pandemic, I miss Sarah Perry, by the way, especially as we transition from like tweak to tweak to tweak, you know, I'm always kind of going back to think about her anyways. Capacity. And so what we realized is all of a sudden we had all the time in the world to focus on our weight loss journey, all the time in the world. I had all the time in the world to clean my basement out finally. All the time in the world, but we didn't have capacity. We didn't have the capacity to do it because we were just focused on other things or the stress was so heavy. Remember they had the body count countdown? Tony and I were thinking about this the other day on CNN. They had like a body count where they were literally counting the people who were dying. I'm like, how fuck? Can you imagine what that did to us? Like, and so there was this whole thing. Sorry to bring that up. If it's triggering to people, I just realized it probably is. But a capacity, right? And sometimes you don't have the capacity to do all the things. And so this is part of the conversation that we had that I started with today. So full circle moment that we had with Dr. Dina is recognizing your capacity from where you are at and meeting yourself with where you are at. And the first thing you need to do here in week 9, before you start putting pressure on yourself about what you need to do at the end, is take stock of what you have done, what you have worked through to get yourself here today, and be really proud of the fact that you are here today, and take a hot minute to like sit in yourself and take a deep breath and assess your needs, right? And then this is where you can assess what you need to do in order to keep moving forward. And sometimes it's just recognize that I am still here. I am still here. And super proud of that, you know, honestly, because that's something. You are still here. You are still here. These rounds and 45 pounds down, my problem is I need to work on now is self-sabotage. Huge issue because you know you can do it. This is huge. Sabotage is so huge because yes, it pops up in the beginning, but also at the end where you realize this is possible for you. And then like, that's where you start sabotage because you realize you are really making change. And that can be very scary. That can be very scary. It's really interesting how sabotage pops up at the end. I'm going on my first cruise in December. A living loser cruise would be fun. Yeah, right. I'm working on some fun stuff. Tackling the buffet. We'd love to see how we tackle the buffet on a cruise. We would leave the stuff on the other cruises. We'd only be taking, we would feel great, enjoy our days while others would be rubbing their bellies, complaining how crappy they feel. Yeah. So when you're on a cruise, like I love even like an all-inclusive, I love that there are options. And so some people are really foodies and you love like food. And so this is where like, if you see and you spy like the chocolate chip pancakes and the waffles and all of that, have it one day. But choose to have it that day for breakfast. You don't have to have all the things all day, every day. And then choose to also ask those 4 questions, be in tune to your portions, and then choose to take your time and enjoy your food. You're on holiday, you're on vacay, sit there. Like, take time to like breathe and enjoy the, unless of course you're running off to do a, you know, a land tour or whatever. Enjoy it, like taste it, enjoy it, you know, and just because, you know, you have pancakes or waffles with ice cream or whatever one day for breakfast doesn't mean that you've ruined anything. And that it's that all or nothing mentality. Well, fuck it. I've just screwed myself over. So I might as well just indulge all day, every day. And then you're right. People walk away feeling like shit. They're all bloated. They're gross. And then they're just like, ugh. You know, and then you just feel like crappy all day. So that's why I'm saying make your choices, make choices that make you feel good. So you can still have those buffet foods and those really delicious things that maybe you don't have an opportunity to have, but just eat it. Notice I don't say moderation because we don't want to control or moderate anything. We're not trying to moderate what we're eating. We just want to be in tune to eating enough to feel satisfied. Like, that was good. I had that. All right, moving along. Next, right? And then maybe if I had the pancakes for breakfast, what I might do is just make sure I try to get a little extra leafy greens in at lunch. Make sure I'm drinking my water. Be mindful of my sugar cravings. If I start with something higher sugar for breakfast, I'm going to be craving breakfast all day. So just being aware of that, you know. I love when there's food all around. It's an opportunity to really. So when I used to go to buffets, it used to really overwhelm me. because I would see what everybody's eating and your eyes are like, okay, this is too much. Or you'd see some people's plates piled like yay high. And so you'll know when you go through a buffet line and you start adding food to your plate, you get to a point where you know it's way too much. You know it's way too much. You know it's way too much. And that's where you need to say to yourself, okay, like this is too much for me. And so maybe the first day you'll overdo it. The next day, pay attention to that. Like put food on your plate while asking, how is this portion for me? What do I have room for? Of all the things available here for me, I feel like if I'm getting to the point where this is going to leave me satisfied or leave me full, what am I going to put on my plate that is really kind of like where I want to, you know, if there's something that I really want, let me go put that on instead of trying a bit of this and trying a bit of that. So it's about being strategic. You know, it's like choosing anything else on vacay, choosing how you want to spend your time, right? Same thing, choosing the foods that you want to eat and enjoy. I got to go. I promised myself I was going to keep these lives to a half hour this week. I'm failing at that. But that's okay. I make the rules. So capacity. This is so timely for me. I invited almost 200 people to a fundraiser at my house for Doctors Without Borders. Well, good for you. I'm also still trying to organize an auction, host kids for March break, do my kickboxing, apply for school programs to become a psychotherapist. I'm exhausted and anxious and trying to manage my capacity. You and I are like soul sisters. You and I are soul sisters. So I did this last fall because the business is growing and growing and growing. I won Canada's top 100 most powerful women, like me. Amazing. So what did I do? Being named one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women, what did I do? I put myself under more pressure and took on more work and more responsibilities because I'm a powerful woman. So I should be able to do all these things. Yeah. Okay, Gina. And I got myself involved in all this shit. I was planning this, going here, going there, doing all this stuff, thinking that as Canada's most powerful woman, I need to show everybody how powerful I am and I can do this and I can do that and I can do all these things. Yeah, good try, honey. And then I just got so stressed out and it just was like miserable. In one sense, like felt amazing because I'm doing all these things. Look at me. And then on another sense, it nearly broke me. Really. And I used to say, do things that make you happy. And sometimes that's hard for other people because you know, I like the idea of doing something. And then when it comes time to do it, I'm like, why the fuck did I say I would do this? And then, so I used to learn to say no. There was actually, I used to do this. God, I remember this now, especially when my kids were young. I was like, yes, yes, I'll do it. And then I realized like, I need help. I'm always helping everybody else. I have four kids. Like I'm a single mom. I am drowning. I need help. I need to stop helping everybody else because I need help. And so what I did when I came back from, so I went away on Christmas vacation for a couple of weeks with my family. I got, you know, I didn't post at all. So unlike me. I didn't do any work at all. So unlike me. I was like, shut her down, was in the moment with my family. And I came back and felt like a new person. And it occurred to me, I can't do this to myself. I'm going to literally have a heart attack, like actually have a heart attack. I was having heart palpitations. Mind you, it could have been hormones. I had like heartburn. I was so stressed out. My stomach hurt. And I came back from this. It wasn't a vacation. It was a relocation. It was a family adventure, epic family adventure, because there was 12 of us. And I came back and I had to cancel commitments that I had made. And I pissed off some people who are not, some who's who of Whoville people too. Yeah, the who's who of Whoville. I pissed them off. I probably won't get invited back again. And I felt horrible. I felt really bad about having to say no to things that I committed to. And I just knew for my mental health and my physical health. And now reflecting back, it was the best decision that I made. It was very hard in the moment. I felt like so awful. And people were like, but you committed and you said. And I'm like, I know I did, but I can't. And it was very difficult for me in the moment to make those decisions, to say no. And I'm pretty sure I burned some bridges there. But also I think if there are people worth working with, or people who are truly my friends, then they will understand it's not who I am. And I'm not trying to screw anybody over or let people down. It's just like I recognized I was so at capacity that I had to, something had to give, and it had to be me in my time. And now I look back, I'm like, what was I doing? I wasn't in the right mindset to even take on those things. And, you know, it's not like I did want to screw anybody over. And that was like, now I realized how important it was that I did that. And so now I've reconciled that, and I'm like really proud of myself for putting myself first, recognizing, taking ownership. Yes. And the most I could do is be really honest and apologize and, you know, be like, I'm really sorry, but this is something that I needed to do for me. No is a complete sentence. Absolutely it is. But I did also take ownership of the fact that I had made some commitments, and I had to explain to people I should never have made them. And I made them with, you know, honestly thinking that I would be able to do that. And, you know, I realized I can't. And so I don't know the situation with you, but sometimes we need permission to say, you know, it's okay to take a step back. It's okay to say no. It's okay to change our minds and recognize when your health is at risk, like physically, mentally, the people around you need to understand. And all, you will never go wrong by doing what's right by you. You will never go wrong by doing what's right by you, because it puts you back on the right path. It puts you back on the right path, because sometimes we get sidetracked into doing things for other people or doing what other people want us to do. And it's really sidetracking us from the path that we are meant to follow, right? And but sometimes that's not easy. Anyway, thank you for my therapy session. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, everybody. Those of you who are still with me. I gotta go, everyone. The reason why I'm staying on so long, I went a whole hour today. Please do not feel like you have to listen to a whole hour of me talk. Is because I'm really excited with where we are at in the program. I love that you are still here in week 9. I know what it takes to still be here 9 weeks in, showing up for yourself. Some of you have, this is like your 14th, 15th program. You know, this is like you've been here with us for a while with where you're at in your journey. These are the kind of conversations we want to have. Hopefully something that I said today resonated with you. Hopefully there's some good tidbits and takeaways in this conversation with you today. Dr. Beverly is going to join us next week. We're going to build on the conversation that we had with Dr. Dina yesterday. So if you haven't had an opportunity to listen or watch that conversation, I highly suggest you do, because we're going to. So Dr. Dina really brought some awareness to us. Dr. Beverly. Beverly is going to give us some tools and some tips in order to navigate through those feels and make sure that we show up and we are here right to the end, or you are here right to the end of your weight loss journey and you reach that goal. Have an amazing day, everyone. Remember, if I didn't answer your question, I'm sure there were many, don't stop asking, please. Don't stop asking, because I just believe in the organicness of the live and just kind of going through and picking out questions and comments as they pop up. So please don't stop. But pop it over on the question of the day page. The team will be sure to answer it over there for you. Remember, you can download and listen to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Remember, we do have our next program coming up, I believe April 22nd, our spring summer program. If you haven't signed up, make sure you get signed up sooner rather than later. Have an amazing day, everyone. And if you want to join me today for the tweak this week at 12, I will see you then. Otherwise, have an amazing day. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.